This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Kim Hanchar. She's a CIO at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I was at an event a couple weeks back, and Kim dazzled the audience. And I figured, geez, can I beg and plead, Kim, in the studio, can you dazzle my listeners? And she finally gave up and said, okay. So she's going to come in and share with us some information about managing mobile devices. And this is from someone who's been in the trenches, who fought the battles, beat her head against the wall, and figured out best practices. And as I told Kim earlier, I said, geez, if we have a couple listeners that can get some takeaways and learn how to do it, well, then we've accomplished a whole lot today. Kim, why don't you maybe start off with a little about your background and how you wound up at the EEOC, please?
Well, it's a pleasure to be here today. I've had a rather long career in the federal government, starting out at Department of Veteran Affairs, 15 years there. Great projects, very big challenges. And after the VA moved on to the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, that was in the early days of internet, before the term e-government really came out. At the FCC, I worked with a lot of really capable people in putting together a portfolio of electronic government systems, 20 systems that allowed the agency to replace paper transactions with electronic transactions.
Assessed what you had there. That's a good first step, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of them were public-facing, government-to-citizen apps. After 10 years at the FCC, which I really enjoyed, the EEOC tagged me as their chief information officer. So I've been at the EEOC for about 5 years.
Pretty wide range of experience and a whole bunch of different, you know, big systems, small systems, and mobile systems as well. And I think that's where you got your fame, is because I think you may have been one of the first people in the federal government to manage these mobile devices, BYOD or something like that. Is that correct?
Hey, I've been using a mobile device since the early 90s. I threw away my address book and started using something called a Sharp Wizard.
You don't need no stinking paper anymore. No, since the early 90s, that's really saying something.
Indeed.
Great. Yeah.
And good. It was a big thing then, you know, to carry around a device. This was before Palm Pilots. And, you know, the thought of synchronizing a device with your corporate system, wow, that was unheard of.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. What I wanted to do today is talk about, in general, about three or four big topics and let you talk about your experience in managing mobile devices and how you did it at the EEOC and some of your challenges and how you overcame some of those challenges. And I throw this term out, MDM, real quickly, and I'll probably not use the acronym too many times, is mobile device management. And this is a challenge that many federal IT professionals have, is some bozo like me, like John Gilroy, waltzes in one day with an Apple, next day with a Samsung, and just wants the whole world to change and everything works fine and no problem at all. I think this is a problem. So when did you first encounter managing mobile devices and what kind of challenges did you have back in the early days?
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of us in the IT community first encountered mobile device management when the BlackBerries came around. The BES server, otherwise known as BlackBerry Enterprise Server, was probably the first mobile device management software and hardware that existed. And, you know, we had to make decisions about what security features would be turned on that BES server and how to manage the BlackBerry devices. For the most part, those were all government-furnished devices.
So start off with the BlackBerry, And later on the show, we'll ask about what's going on with BlackBerry and how that impacts things now. And then what's happened is, I think, with the obvious transition of mobile devices and the popularity of the Apple iPhone, I think that was probably the next wave that was thrown at you. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of people, even in the BlackBerry days, had personally owned BlackBerry. And so most CIOs had to make a decision whether they would support only government-furnished devices or would include support for personally owned devices. And when there became a little more diversity in the mobile smartphone technology, that's when the plethora of offerings in the mobile device management area started to really grow.
Everyone is brother. Even the big companies say, oh yes, and by the way, we also offer blank, blank, blank. It's got to be confusing just even to, how do you even assess all their offerings? It's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we in the IT world, we have lots of great offerings. And doing evaluations, really documenting what your needs are, and then doing the matchup between what's available and what your needs are, and then kind of down selecting to the group that are best fit. That's really what we do on most all technologies.
If you look at recent surveys of federal IT professionals, federal IT folks, it looks like from last year, tablets were at 7% penetration. Now they're about 19% penetration. Last year, smartphones were about a 35% penetration. This year, about 43% penetration. I mean, you don't have to take any class in statistics to know. I mean, it's just they're just everywhere, and they have to come to grips with some way to take and manage them.
That's true. And I'll tell you, the you know, the mobile devices, not only are they smartphones and tablets, but they're also your laptops. And government-furnished devices could fit in all three of those categories. We think of our mobility program starting with the laptop and sort of finishing with the tablet. But we manage all three devices in our agency, and we do have a suite of tools to do that. So I'd be happy to tell you more about it.
Well, great. Let's maybe expand a little bit more on that. We have about 3 minutes left. Let's expand it, and then we'll make a transition to the MDM devices themselves.
Sure. Well, because when you're managing an enterprise with many, many, many devices, you look for enterprise scale management tools. On the laptop, we have a software that we use to distribute software and keep a standard image on all of those laptops. And it is a task that we've got a team doing. They concentrate on security patches and, of course, any new software that we're introducing into our suite. With regard to the smartphones and tablets, we've got BlackBerrys still as part of our inventory, and we maintain a BlackBerry Enterprise server. And then we've also invested in a cloud-based mobile device management software. And that was really, really easy. It was remarkably fast and easy to implement. It allows us to manage both personally owned and corporate devices and not really have to install any hardware or any infrastructure whatsoever on premises. The provider provides all services and software.
When I think of laptops, I think of access control and user permissions. And when I think of adding on to that with a mobile device, you have to worry about bandwidth limits and just real estate on the screen itself and compatibility of devices. It is, the transition sounds like it was easy to you, but there's a lot of complexity in that little simple transition there, wasn't there?
Yes, it's true. It really was something where I found we had to meet weekly to discuss all the different aspects of supporting personally owned and corporate owned mobile devices. We had a team that included IT security, our email administration team, our network team, and also some end users to help with the policy aspects of privacy. You know, what privacy expectations do you have when you have a government device? And then how do they differ when it's a personal device that's being managed.
You know, we joked before the show that I've got 10 years experience in mobile device management. Well, John, it didn't exist 10 years ago. I mean, and the trail you blazed was the trail that most people are finding themselves in, is that, you know, they don't have experience. It's kind of learning and trying to figure out, and maybe we can find out what Kim did. So what you did is you reached out to many stakeholders and tried to get a pretty wide range of inputs before you put your hand down and said, this is how we're doing things, huh?
That's right. I really wanted it to be a user-driven initiative. We called it revamping the mobile program, and we were revamping it around what people need to do their job and what people want to be productive. And it really included a lot of user-based input.
Sounds good. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of the specifics of mobile device management, talk about extending it to apps, app management, and talk about this strange phenomenon called an app store. And there's some government agencies that actually have their own app stores. And what's the value of that, or why should you even be concerned about that? Maybe get some insight here from Kim on a whole wide range of information involving managing mobile devices. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Kim Hanchar, CIO of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Kim Hanchar, CIO at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. We're not talking about equal opportunity here. We're talking about managing mobile devices. And we'll just get Kim in the studio here. Maybe she can share with you some of her experience. Maybe you can learn what she went through in managing these devices. When we were at this event a couple weeks back, I posed a question. Well, at the Pentagon, you know, there's that little central area there. Then there's different concentric circles. And there's a parking lot. Then you go outside the circle. And imagine the people at the Pentagon had to manage their mobile devices based on geographic location. And in the EOC, I mean, you have to worry about not only your headquarters, but there's, what, 40 or 50 locations you have as well. So you have to think all that through, don't you? How did you, here's the technical question, how did you noodle through that one?
Well, I guess perhaps the first question with bring your own device is to decide whether BYOD is right for your agency or not. And it's really a risk-based decision. You have to ask yourself, does this agency have classified data? If it does, then you have to ask some more questions about the sensitivity of that data and the possibility of data leakage. Does your agency have sensitive or confidential information? And if so, what's the exposure? And does your agency deal with data, dealing with the national infrastructure, the critical infrastructure of the nation that might be of interest to terrorists? Those are the kinds of questions, risk-based questions, upon which you'll base your decision about whether BYOD is something you'd like to pursue. With regard to geolocation and how you structure that for your mobile device usage, there is a feature in most MDM tools that actually allow you to turn on geolocation on the devices that are managed. At my agency, because we're not dealing with classified information and we're not dealing with information that has to do with critical infrastructure, and we really have no need to know about the location of mobile devices, we don't use that feature.
So it didn't make your checklist, but it may be in the checklist of one of my listeners.
Absolutely.
And so what you want to do is look at the risk involved. I imagine there's a whole part of your analysis that involves just mobile risk management. And what about information on devices? And what about remotely wiping that information? And what about information that's on a personally owned device? Now, outside of the Washington, D.C. area, if you walk around in Chicago and people see someone with two phones, they go, well, it must be a Govy. Got a new phone. I don't know if that's true anymore, but that's what is said out on the streets here. And it's because they have to, I think they have to manage things from a different perspective than a typical commercial organization. Although in typical commercial organization, you pick up Computer World, you find out that 56% of users in large corporations have tablet devices. I mean, it parallels the federal government, doesn't it? I mean, it's not that different.
It really, yeah, it really is surprising when you look at the usage patterns in different kinds of agencies. When we did a analysis, we actually did a survey of our EEOC population, and we found about 63% of the people were carrying both a smartphone and a tablet. And I'll tell you, the settings that you have available to manage those devices in the MDM tools are really pretty rich. So if you have a need, for example, to manage the passwords and the length of the password and the complexity of the password and the history of the password, you've got many, many features for that. You can also manage the time that it takes before the screen locks. You can manage the wipe for any device under an MDM. You can, of course, wipe the entire device. You can also do, most of the MDM tools provide you with a selective wipe. And a selective wipe is the kind of thing that'll wipe only the work-related data, let's say the email messages, the calendar items, and the contacts that were added through the email tool, corporate email tool. But it'll leave all of your personal email and all of your pictures and the things that were not entered through the corporate system.
You know, my listeners are probably listening to what you have to say and saying, okay, well, Kim, how much should I budget just for configuring the tool? Should I budget 6 weeks for configuring the tool? Could I do it in the afternoon on the way home in the metro? Is it a six-month project? So what size is your agency? And just roughly how long does it take to configure the MDM tool?
Well, for agencies that have a BlackBerry Enterprise server, they've already made decisions, configuration decisions, for those mobile devices. So the first thing you do is you replicate those on the MDM tool. And I would say the best way to proceed is pick your 10 most important security settings. Implement those 10. Do that in your alpha pilot. Get feedback from your users. Was the screen lock time acceptable, or should it be a little longer? Because people have to enter their password too many times. And then I would take the next chunk of 10 more security features, implement those, and, you know, same thing, do it iteratively and get feedback after each iteration.
That's sounds like software development to me, doesn't it? It sounds like an iterative cycle where you throw out 10 things and no one complains. You throw out 10 more things, then people are screaming and throwing chairs at you in the hallway. So the only way you can find out is to test it. And I like this approach. This is the phrase in my world is, I can't think of the phrase. Don't let excellence get in the way of good, or don't let excellence get in the way of, or don't let perfection get in the way
That's
of excellence.
Right.
It's like you could take a year trying to get all these details correctly, but if you just grab 10, throw them out there, see what happens. Okay, grab another 10, throw them out there, pivot, move, agile, and expect feedback because, I mean, no one's going to get right the first time.
That's right. And I think for larger agencies, it's a little more difficult to make those decisions, to move forward in sort of an iterative way because they have complex decision chains and approval levels. But my advice still is to move forward with a small subset of security and privacy settings, document them in the form of, you know, some sort of plain language rules of behavior for users so that people are clear on what the privacy expectations are and what the security settings will be.
And so you post that policy for employees, or how do you distribute that policy just from a management perspective here?
We do post it. We have it on our intranet. But we also actually require signature for those people who have chosen to use their personal device and have it as a managed device under the corporate MDM.
Now, I have three kids in their 20s, and there's no way they're going to join you at the EOC and use their skill set to help you achieve your goals unless they can use mobile device. I mean, it ain't going to happen. I mean, if they walked in there and you said, sorry, Lauren, you leave your smartphone and your tablet at home, she's going to say, I'm working at McDonald's. But that's part and parcel of this, establishing a policy to allow the employees to use what they bring in.
You know, I ran a round table at a recent GuideTech conference, and there were several people at my table who actually echoed exactly what you said. They were young feds, and they said that they chose which agency that they would actually work at based on whether they could use their Mac.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Young Feds sounds like a soap opera, doesn't it? And it now does. At 2 o'clock, the Young Feds, starring John Gilroy. He'll be the last one to start.
My daughter
is
a Young Fed.
She's a Young Fed.
She
well,
is.
That's good.
She works for FEMA.
I read all kinds of press releases. People send me these press releases, you know, every which way. And I saw an analysis by Juniper. They have a threat center, of course. And they said that, you know, there's been a 600% increase in mobile threats in the last 6 months. What are you doing about it? And kind of coincidental that they're the ones who, you know, sell the security software for that. Where does this whole app management fit in your grid of trying to figure out how to manage mobile devices? Top of the list, bottom of the list, mid-tier, where does it fit in?
Well, for us, it's definitely been secondary to the data loss prevention and the basics of mobile security. With regard to applications, we do allow our users to download apps. We provide cautions, and what we're doing is mostly training. You know, we're actually implementing a mobile security awareness training component this year. Every agency does annual security awareness training for its whole user population. And this year, we're including a segment on mobile awareness. And a lot of it is common sense. So we really are reaching out to people and giving them the, you know, the ABCs.
When we come back, talk more about the ABCs of common sense in handling mobile devices. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Kim Hanchar, CIO at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Kim Hanchar, CIO at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And all of my listeners are going to have an opportunity to manage mobile devices sooner or later. And that's why we have Kim in the studio. She's been the pioneer. The pioneers get the arrows in the front, I think. And so she's seen a lot of managing mobile devices. We thought she'd come in here and share with us some ideas she's had. We've talked about management MDM in general and configuring it. Now, and we just touched on this app and this whole app situation here. I mean, you think this app mobile threat is something there? Is it just something people beating up a drum to sell their security software? Or what about security and apps? Is, you know, you said it's about the second level. Where do you place it and where do you think it's heading?
Well, I think that it is probably a knowledge area, a center of expertise that is developing. I don't really have experience in encountering app malware to date. And, you know, I count myself as lucky, but I know it's coming and I know we're guarding against it as best we can. But I think it is an area that will be exploited greatly in the future. And we're all watching carefully on what kinds of tools will protect us.
Yeah. Speaking of tool, one tool I use is blogs. I have a blog. If you want to read my blog about this interview, you type in John Gilroy blog and it pops up. Do you have a blog? Can you recommend a blog for our listeners? Maybe you can get some insights on managing mobile devices.
Oh, sure. Well, it's not a blog, but it is a collaboration website. It's called advancedmobility.ning.com. So it's advanced mobility, all one word, .ning.com.
Sound like a radio professional. You get 2 points for that one.
Well, what it is an online collaboration website for BYOD practitioners.
They can kick things around. What about this? What about
that? Exactly. Yeah. It's got forums, little discussion chains. It's got documents galore. Each of us in state, local, and federal government have posted our policies, our case studies, it's all there.
Well, so if you want to know how Kim figured it out, you can go there and, well, this is a policy I may want to take and use this for some guidelines and manage my own. Every agency, of course, is going to be different and have different requirements. But, you know, it's always nice to say, well, how did someone else do it? You know, well, geez,
exactly.
How did they ever skin the cat? And
yeah. And
you can't, you know, I think this collaborative understanding and learning, I mean, you can't just boldly walk in and get a piece of paper and come up with a mobile use policy all on your own, because you're going to forget 75% of the things that you never even thought of and pop up.
Exactly right. And all of the material there is there for that purpose, for reuse, for repurposing, for fitting to your agency or your corporation. It's very much orchestrated towards government policies. But we've got lots of samples from corporate America as well.
I teach a class over in Georgetown, and in one of my classes, I always bring in M&Ms and pass them around. And the students are waiting for the punchline in this one. They go, yeah, M&M, measure and monitor. And they go, we're going to have some fun here. No, measure and monitor. When you design a website and you look at its marketing implications, you have to measure it. And by the way, it doesn't stop there. It's not set it and forget it. You got to monitor over a long period of time. That M&M applies directly to the mobile world, doesn't it?
It sure does. We really are interested in monitoring usage and also really looking for the ones that are meant to do harm. So, for example, we have a rule, a configuration security feature in our MDM tool that prevents any kind of device that's been jailbroke or rooted. That's the other term they
use. Busted. You're busted. Is that the thing that flashes up? You're busted.
Exactly. It prevents them from getting access to our system. We also have a monitoring capability on our virtual private network so that if there are any rogue devices who haven't been given special permission to access a VPN from a mobile device, we can identify them and disconnect them.
Have you found that, for example, if you look at five MDM vendors, one may have a strength in measure and monitor, another may have a strength in flexibility, another may have a strength in implementation. Do they vary with these strengths and weaknesses, or how do the different vendors vary?
They do. They have one of the primary differences that you look for is whether you're looking for an on-premise or cloud-based. So most of them are one or the other, and a few of them do both. We were looking for cloud-based, so that limited our selection. The other thing that limits it is your email system. Google, Mail, Exchange, GroupWise, Lotus Notes. There are some of the vendors work with all of them. Some of the vendors just work with a few of them.
So you have to really, I think back to the start of the program here, you have to get out a little piece of paper and assess exactly what your situation is. What are the applications we're going to use? We're going to use applications A, B, and C. Okay. How about vendor? Does he handle A, B? Oh, no, he doesn't. Well, guess what? We like this vendor. It's a good price. It's good flex. But if all your people are using Excel and it doesn't, well, then you're boxing yourself out, aren't you?
Yeah. And a really interesting feature in some of the MDMs is that they will allow collaboration. So once you do have all these folks on mobile devices, they need to share documents, and they need to do so securely. So a few of the MDMs actually offer like a secure sharing collaboration portal, and that's a really good new distinct feature that I would look for.
Yeah, collaboration is important in all different of those. When I look at maybe designing some kind of a mobile strategy for an agency, I would, you got to balance protecting security versus broadening access. It's being able to hire that 25-year-old and letting him have access, but making sure that this young person doesn't do something stupid. And this is the yin and yang of someone like you who can say, well, look, I've been around. I know what can happen here. What we're going to have to do is send out the memo and then get the 10 people in the room and pound on a table and say, this is what happens if you bring in, a jailbroke Pete. You're in big trouble, buddy.
That's right.
I think memo is one thing, but when a human stands in front of you and says, hey, my name's Kim, no, don't bring in these bad devices. I mean, it almost has to... It's not technical. It's almost like managing.
Yes.
And it's I hate the word teaching, because young people in the 20s hate that word. Maybe helping them learn new practices.
Yeah, I like to call it orienting them.
Orienting. Do not say teaching to a 20-year-old.
Indeed.
Oh, they'll run.
But you know what? One of the best tools for teaching or for orienting people is video. And I'm going to do a short video on mobile device management and more oriented towards the things that you need to know to be smart about using a mobile device for work.
That is the phrase that pays. I think mobile, I think what's happening now is people are almost resisting reading proposals and recommendations and memos, but they prefer seeing a 2-minute video tutorial on how to buy Redskins tickets.
Oh, it's so true.
Or how to change oil in your car, rather than reading a manual. If you had a 2-minute video on how to change oil in your car, how to change a spare tire, you're going to get much more feedback than you would in any way. And it's just, this has happened. This has changed in probably 5 or 6 years, hasn't it? The transition to video is it's happened before our very eyes.
It really has. You know, my son's a videographer. He has a little company called DC Video Works, And he did some volunteer work before he started his company and did a short video on telework. It was called The Do's and Don'ts of Telework. And, you know, some of those things you would think would be common sense, but we put them in a visual format so that our teleworkers could really understand the kinds of expectations that management has for you when you're teleworking.
And it conveys the information easily. And maybe that's an approach that my listeners can take when they do their due diligence and come up with a mobile policy. Okay, that's step one. Step two is conveying that information to your staff in an effective way that the staff doesn't roll their eyes and say, well, I know all this stuff. Well, maybe they don't know all this stuff. Maybe they have to worry about what kind of apps to run, what apps not to run.
That's right. One of the interesting, you know, components of our policy, our rules of behavior, is that if you're using your personal device for work and it's a managed device, you're not allowed to share it with members of your family or anybody else. It is no longer a shared device.
Where if I'm in the car with my wife and she's driving, she'll say, text Lauren, see where she's at. And I grab for it and do it without even thinking. But guess what? There's a new modality here. And oh, by the way, you know, we have information that's not the donut recipe. This is some information that an agency may have that can't be shown to everyone. It's kind of a fascinating topic here. Let's take a break. We come back. Talk more about managing change. I mean, there's one thing to come up with a policy. Then all of a sudden, there's a new mobile device in the market. All of a sudden, Samsung hits with something. Then there's a new operating system. So you have to not only worry about policies in a changing world, but you have to worry about hardware changing, operating system changing, and the mobile threat itself all changing while you're sitting there drinking your coffee one morning. All of a sudden, Samsung's got a new device, new operating system, new threats for your system. How to manage change in the mobile world is really a tough topic. We can explore that after a break. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Kim Hanchar, CIO at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Kim Hanchar, CIO at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. No, we're not talking about equal opportunity. We're talking about managing mobile devices. And if you're stuck in a situation where you got to manage mobile devices, okay, you go to the website that Kim suggested. You put together a policy. You get input from many different group stakeholders. You're sitting there Monday morning. You got your policy. You're all fat and happy. You're smoking a cigar. Your feet are on the table. And then everything changes. And this is the change of management aspect here, because we know in 6 months there's going to be new smartphones. We know in 8 months there's going to be an operating system. And in this little document you come up with, it's a policy, it may even work for a couple of months.
That's right. And, you know, we had that experience. But when you take things from the get-go as an iterative kind of change, then you group all the changes and you put out your next policy version. So when we put out our initial BYOD rules of behavior, we were very clear that these are the rules of behavior, this is the program until it changes. And then we put it out a next version 6 months later.
Yeah.
And we did the same with government-provided devices, because we had to address tablets. Our first policy dealt with just BlackBerries, government-furnished BlackBerries. But then we decided to invest in a few iPads and pilot those, and those were government-furnished devices. So we wanted to make clear what the expectations would be on those devices.
My wife has a smartphone, she has a Nook, she has an iPad, and now she's in a Samsung Galaxy. Well, a year ago, that would have been inconceivable. But it's all changing so quickly, it's hard to figure it out. If you are involved in Twitter, you can follow me. My Twitter handle is @RayGilRay. Do you folks have a Twitter account? I don't know if you guys do or not. Do you have a Twitter account at the EOC?
We sure do.
Oh, boy. What is it?
The Office of Communications and Legislative Affairs has a Twitter account, and they keep people informed via, I guess it's #EEOC.
Okay. That's good. Didn't know that. This is the part in the show where every one of my guests is subjected to a scientific 10-question test to find out if, in fact, you're a card-carrying nerd or not.
Uh-oh.
Some people are listening going, well, I don't know. What kind of phone does she have? She manages these. What kind does she have? Really? Why? Oh, what does she have at home? Oh, different at home than here. And so the 10-question test really kind of is for the benefit of my listeners. The first question is, Kim.
Yes.
When did you buy your first personal computer? What year?
I would say that it was 2000.
Okay, that's good. When did you get your first cell phone?
Well, I would say that was around the same time.
Okay. Late adopter, late adopter. Do you have your own Twitter feed?
I do.
Oh, that's good. Do you have a personal blog?
Can I say what my Twitter
sure.
feed
mm-hmm.
is? It's Catalina Kim.
With a C?
With a C, Catalina Kim.
I know, Catalina Island, that's good. And do you have a personal blog?
I don't.
Okay. Do you use any personal online backup services for home stuff or personal stuff?
Yes, I've recently been using Google Plus.
Okay. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
Well, I have smartphone envy. I'm currently carrying a Android, and it's the Bionic.
Okay.
And on Father's Day, I went to the store with my husband and bought him a Samsung Galaxy S4, mm-hmm. and I keep on borrowing it because
Ooh.
I just love it.
Mm. And I normally ask how many apps are on that phone. How many apps do you use in a typical, let's say, 30-day period? How many different apps do you use on your phone?
What's interesting, because I am a tablet carrier, mm-hmm. I also have an Android Samsung Galaxy original, small device, 3-4 years old. I have certain apps that I find useful on the tablet, mostly travel-based mm-hmm. apps. And then on my smartphone, I use mostly productivity apps. And I would estimate around 15 a day.
Good, good. And how many tablet devices do you think we'd have if I walked over your house and took a little survey? How many tablet devices are floating around there?
I'm in charge of inventory at my house, so I know. There is one one iPad, and there's one Galaxy Tab.
And what kind of social networking sites do you participate in?
I like Facebook and LinkedIn, and recently I've been getting into Google Plus.
And the last book read, was it electronic or paper?
It is paper. I'm reading a book called Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. She's the COO of Facebook.
Yep, great. That's interesting. I emailed a friend of mine to read this book on marketing, and he said he downloaded as he was reading the email. I mean, it happens so quickly these days, and book sales can go up and quickly like that. Well, that's kind of interesting. I'm fascinated by the mobile devices that you use because you are, it's like, okay, you're an automobile mechanic, you're working in Ferraris. What kind of car do you drive? I mean, that's what I always wonder that. I ask mechanics that all the time, and I'm always surprised by the cars that they drive because they obviously get the cars that don't have any problems. So it's an interesting choice of devices for you. When I look at the federal government and he's managing the mobile devices, and I call it mobile madness, and what's going to happen, and this and that, and it's changing, and you have a nice six-month policy. Well, maybe your six-month policy may be too long. Maybe you may have to change that to, this policy would be good for 90 days, and then because we expect an influx of new Galaxy devices or something new is coming on the market, or maybe there's an innovation in security. There's companies around town that offer hardware-type security for mobile devices.
Sure.
So what do you where should my listeners head? Should they just, get confused? Should they go to these blogs? I mean, where do you see this whole managing mobile devices heading in the next few years?
Well, I think rather than focusing on the devices, the important thing is to focus on the data, the corporate data, and how you're going to protect it. We found that when we were writing our device policies, that we focused on just the OS. So our decision was to support Androids, BlackBerry OS, and iOS devices. And that means a whole bunch of devices, but those are just three OSs. We also are looking at the Windows 8 phone OS. And one of the nice things about a cloud-based MDM provider is that they're integrating all these new devices and OSs into their product, so you don't have to. You can just be the consumer.
And I think that's the key there is that I don't know how one individual can keep track of all the iterations and the new operating systems and the innovations and the threats. You have to wear so many different hats. I'm wearing the security hat today. Oh, great. Now I'm wearing the app hat today. And there's people like DISA, DISA, they've come up with an app store, which I never would imagine those pretty hard-headed people over there at DISA, I mean, they're responsible for a lot of serious stuff. And they have this little frivolous little app store. It sounds like, you know, like a general and a puppy or something, you know. But DISA has chosen to use this app store to help improve security and, sure. and maybe help retain employees as well.
Sure, because one of the things that we know about federal workers is that they are rule followers. And if you provide them with a distribution channel for their mobile apps and you tell them to use it, the vast majority are going to get their apps there. And you have a higher probability of, you know, solid security for the majority of your users.
We just have a couple minutes left here. For the benefit of my listeners, what would, you know, in my world, we do this thing called a gap analysis and look at a system and say, well, here's the first thing to look at. If you were just exploring this for the first time, would you focus on, let's say, bandwidth for your headquarters? Would you focus in on including a wide range of devices? What would be the one little walk away that my listeners can take after listening to this interview for an hour?
Well, I bandwidth is clearly important in these days of cloud computing. In our agency, we happen to be a rather poor agency, but very geographically distributed. So for us, that's a big deal. But it's not so much with mobile devices, because mobile devices are using broadband, the public broadband, to get to, you know, wherever they need to go. But I would say that with regard to mobile device management, one of the basic decisions you want to consider is whether it's an on-premise or cloud-based tool. And then what are your key criteria differentiate?
Start with, on-site or not on-site.
Yes.
Then you have to consider about cloud, hybrid cloud, public cloud, private cloud. And my next interview is going to be with a fellow from a data center, and we're going to talk about just that exactly thing, how to manage a data center. And it kind of almost goes hand in hand. It's interesting that at the beginning of the show you talked about bringing in different stakeholders. You brought in users and the guys who pull the cables and the security people and the people who may be considering using different types of apps. I think it's a different world where years ago you may want to have sat down with maybe the data center person and said, okay, how are we going to pull this off? And they'll grab a server. And now it's whoa. You know, it's not just one. It is collaborative. It is, we have to get a wide range of people. And maybe that's where mobile fits in is having a 2-minute video and getting input from a wide set of people on what do you think of this new policy. Test, you know, have a test balloon come out first and then make your adjustment to your 10 points.
Absolutely. And the one thing that I'll tell you is that the legal community, in terms of bring your own device, is really important component in that. There's a lot of privacy issues associated with bring your own device that are not yet really, there's not a lot of case law.
Right, so
there's a lot of questions.
We have to end the interview here. I hope you learned a little bit about managing mobile devices. We'll have you back in the studio again, Kim, and maybe have a whole different set of devices and operating systems to worry about in a year. I'm sure there will be. That's the fascinating part about mobile devices. You don't know what's coming next. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Kim Hanchar, CIO at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Thanks, Kim.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.